We have a number of candidates that are running for Boone County Supervisor, and one of those, the incumbent Eric Kretzinger, and he's joining us on the program. Thanks, Eric. I appreciate you taking time to come and visit.
My pleasure to be here, of course.
One of the things that different for you, of course, is you are the incumbent, so a little different perspective on some of the things that we'll probably talk about compared to some of the other candidates. First of all, obviously, a retired businessman, bringing a lot of business sense from what I see when you're doing your board meetings.
Right. Well, I think that, well, one, you have to work with what you've got, and you're right. I've spent a career in business owning and managing businesses. I have a degree in business administration, so it's part of who I am at this point, of course. And I guess I have looked at running the county as running a business, you know, making good decisions with the dollars that come in and how you spend them on the way out. Boy, other than that, business law and employment law, and there's just a lot of things that I have experience with.
When you first started, I mean, when you first were elected for this and stuff, what was your concept at the time? What did you think it was going to be like, or were you pretty much open to finding out all the intricacies?
Well, it's interesting because I was retired 2019 and then ran in 2020. So for one full year, I went to the meetings on Wednesdays. I sat in the gallery and was right there to watch everything happen. And that was very helpful to understand some big issues that were going on. Part of it was wind turbines. There was Apex project was all under consideration back then, a number of things. So I was able to see it firsthand. I would hate to have run and not have attended board meetings and then sit down and say, okay, what is it we do? You know? So I just wanted to be prepared. And I've also dug in a little deeper. I'm Boone County's first certified Iowa County supervisor. I went through the Iowa State Association of County Supervisors and completed a curriculum of study to dig deeper into how we do what we do, Iowa code, how it affects the things that we, you know, drainage districts are a very unique thing, and just a number. So I became a student of what is to be a county supervisor, and that's really, I think, helped me a lot through the past few years.
I was going to say that one of the things I think that comes as a surprise to those that come in, if they haven't followed along and stuff, is the amount of things you're required to do.
Yes.
You do a lot of individual meetings representing the county or the board at different things. Fortunately, you were doing Central Iowa Mental Health or Community Services, as they call it, and they kind of restructured that. That took a load off you because otherwise you were really busy.
Well, I filled it in. Yeah. I found something else now, and I've committed to being on the Downtown Boone committee or the board. Once they get their Main Street, I'm going to say once they get their Main Street designation.
Be positive.
That's it. And so I look forward to that because I had a business downtown for 10 years. And so I have a bit of an appreciation, maybe a little more deeply than others might, because this was home, downtown.
Let's talk a little bit about what are some of the things that, as you've been the supervisor, that you really, over the last 4 years, that you feel real good about? I think probably the communications agreement was one of them.
The communications agreement, that when I came on, that's all I understood, was that there was an impasse between the different communities and the county on how to fund it. The communications center being the, what you call 911, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And there just was not an agreement that could be pulled together. And it was been like over 2 years of not having an agreement and people not understanding how best to do this. So I just came at it with a different set of eyes. And sometimes that's just what it takes. And then a lot of math, because I equated it down to per capita. I figure that's what we're talking about is people. So how many people are we talking about? How many live in each community? How many live in the rural area? And let's assign a cost per each, and the entity that is responsible for that population, that's their cost. We put it all together. And the nice thing is, as population changes, we can always update the funding model. So it's worked and nobody's complained.
So Got that part resolved.
Yeah.
The county sheds. Let's talk a little bit about
some of the things that I'm excited about. We were able to, when I was coming on and I was going to the meetings, in fact, the supervisors purchased land out next to, I think, 26 acres adjacent to Central Iowa Expo on which to build a consolidated shed for our secondary roads department. Mm-hmm. And that would have moved the Madridge shed and the Boone shed together out by where most people would recognize the Farm Progress Show. And Ogden would still remain on the west side and need to remain independent there. But boy, you start doing the math again, and it's really hard from a business standpoint to make sense of that. The amount of extra miles that our drivers would have to drive, it would be nice. And the way it was put together was a very beautiful building that was going to be, quite honestly, quite expensive. So when it came down to it, and when I got on the board, I kind of took a position that was opposite of that, which is that instead, why don't we look at putting new sheds at our three sites, Madrid, Ogden, and Boone, and operate out of those, which is what the folks in those sheds at those locations are saying is what they need. They don't need a centralized thing. So anyway, put it all together, and we ended up being able to purchase, and those are currently under construction, two of them, and the third one, Boone, will be next year, but able to do all three of those for, I think we're going to be about $5 to $5.5 million combined. And compared to the centralized shed that we were talking about, that's going to save us about $12 million. And we don't have that. So we were going to have to put all of that on a bond and pay tax for debt. At the same time that interest rates are extremely high. So by making that move, we're hitting where we need to be, and we're doing it at a tremendous savings to the taxpayers.
And I was gonna say the rest of the board did not have a problem. I mean, the county sheds, we've got our money's worth out of them.
Yes. For goodness sakes, yeah. Yeah, so
it was time.
Two of the three locations have sheds that were built in the 1930s. So we're talking 100-year-old. Yeah, so they're overdue. And you've heard this before from me. The shed down in Madrid in particular, you couldn't even fit new equipment into because they've grown so much. So we were buying old equipment, having it refurbished in order to buy equipment for the Madrid shed. We won't have that problem anymore.
Learning budget. How hard?
Every year I've done four now and sat through a fifth. And every year it gets much easier, and you know the process, but it's a big deal. It is the biggest thing we do.
You guys have made some adjustments in how you do it this year with your local option sales tax and things like that. Yes. So some adjustments, feel good about those? It's a learning experience for some of the agencies.
Right. Yeah. When it comes to local option sales tax, the legislation that was passed originally approved by the taxpayers of Boone County or the voters of Boone County was that 75% of the dollars have to go to secondary roads, and 25% then is available for community betterment. And it's those dollars that get the most interest, even though it's the smallest portion, because those are the dollars we can use for economic development support for agencies such as YSS, anything that's providing community support. And we have a long, long list of those that we've been able to assist. So it's actually kind of one of the more enjoyable things is that you can look at ways you can make a positive impact and send the dollars there and then watch those dollars go to work. And I think we do a good job of putting it in the right place.
Okay. Obviously, all people always talk about property taxes. You guys have done remarkably well keeping that rate down there. Mm-hmm. But it does create some challenges when you keep it down there. You do have a tight budget.
Yeah, you would think that it would be more difficult, but we just run a well-oiled machine, I guess you'd say. We have good people. If we didn't have good people, I'd say we're not paying enough, but it's a good balance. And we're also buying the equipment we need. The Sheriff's Department gets cars when they need them. The secondary roads gets trucks when they need them. we're getting things accomplished. I sometimes look at other counties and wonder, how in the heck are you spending that much money to get so far out of whack? And they're really hurting now. I mean, we have counties in Iowa that are struggling to not cut a lot of positions, and next year it's going to be more difficult, and this is because of legislation mm-hmm. last year. There are counties that are, we talk to supervisors, they are really, really worried about how they're going to make it work now because they can't do what they've been doing, which is spend. And they're going to have to cut a lot of staff. And cutting staff is never fun and never well received by those who are cut, obviously.
So you are the lone incumbent running for re-election. You decided I will seek mm-hmm. re-election and made that announcement relatively early. There's a number of other people that are going to be on the primary ballot. If people want to talk to you about your campaign, about your supporting you, best way to go about doing that?
How to find me?
How to find you.
I'm usually in the courthouse sitting at my desk, it seems. But I do have on our county website, we have a page for the supervisors, mm-hmm. and my phone number and my email is all listed there. I'm also on social media, Facebook, and a lot of people. I mean, this is a seven-day-a-week job that people may not realize. And so I do receive communication at all hours, day and night. Sometimes, actually, on Christmas Day, somebody reached out because they had a problem with a gravel road, and I said, "We'll get to you first thing." But yeah,
you got it. It is a lot of commitment, isn't it?
It really is, and that I think is what I think a lot of folks figure it's a weekly meeting on Wednesday morning, yep. and then you have a couple of hours another day of the week, and that is just the tip of the iceberg as to how much there is. I literally every Monday through Friday I'm doing something, and a lot of times it's all day. Mondays I'm all day, Wednesdays I'm all day. That's pretty typical. But we have night meetings sometimes. We have not a lot of weekend meetings, but things that
other things come up though.
They do. So I try to keep some family time. We have four grandchildren age four and younger, and I try to
spend some time there, too.
Absolutely. That's important.
I do appreciate you taking time to come and visit with us. Thank you.
Again, my pleasure.